Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to personally thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We would also cordially invite you to listen and view our TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We would also ask you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find these radio programs, our TV programs can be downloaded there, and a host of other things that will aid you and help you in your study of God's holy and divine word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the entire Bible. We are in the New Testament. We're in the book of 1 Peter. And this morning, we're going to examine 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Christ suffered for us in the flesh. He hung on the cross. He died as a man. He suffered for the sin of the world. He died not for his own sin, but for the sins of mankind. We need to put ourselves in the same mindset that we too will suffer in the flesh, but one of the ways that we can limit that is that we can cease from sin. If we're going to be a faithful child of God, we have to put off the old man of sin, according to Colossians 3, verse 5, and put on the new man that's in Christ. And we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh in the lust of men, but in the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we live a different type of life. We can't live the life that we lived before we came to Christ. We have to live a life that's in accordance with the principles and the guidelines and the teachings of Christ, that we might be the example influence in the world for that which is good. Now let's pay close attention to verse 3 and 4. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them with the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil of you. Now, in these two verses, we spend enough of our lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. That just simply means living a life that was separated from God. When the old law was in effect, the Gentiles were not part of that law. That law was a national law given to Israel. And so he's just making an illustration that we who belong to Christ can no longer walk in the eyes and in the world by the way that the world does. We must walk according to God. And in verse number 3, he denounces every level of drinking, partying, drunkenness, and social drinking. All of them are works of the flesh. And no child of God can indulge in drinking alcoholic beverages for recreational purposes, for social purposes, just to be a social drinker. All of that is a work of the flesh and contrary to God's will, and God will not accept those who practice such conduct. And verse 4 tells us that in regard to that, people think it's strange that we don't do that what we once did. When we oppose that, when we no longer conduct ourselves that way, people who knew us when we did are going to think it's strange that we don't conduct ourselves in that way again. The reason we don't is that we put on the new man that's created in the image of Christ, and we put off the old man of sin. Drinking alcohol is a sin. Now, I know a lot of people do not agree with that, but there's no way to get around the teaching of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 3. Why should we leave that alone? They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. We're going to give an account of the decisions we made, and so we're going to give an account of the conduct, of what we determine to do with our lives, and we must make sure that it's in agreement with God's will. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but living according to God in the spirit. The gospel is God's power to save, Romans 1:16. It would preach to us who were dead in sin. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And that we might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in His Spirit. We must allow the inner man, the spiritual man, to take over. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to always be ready and prepared for the coming of our Lord. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for the love will cover a multitude of sins. Again, this is a recurring theme in the book of 1 Peter, that we need to have love for others. We need to have a fervent love one for another. It's talking there about brethren. And that kind of love can cover a multitude of sin. And that doesn't mean that we just overlook the sin, but it means that we rise above the sin. Then in verse 9, we are to be hospitable one to another without grumbling. We are to be hospitable people, and we're to do it without grumbling. We're not to do it because we have to. We need to do it because we want to, in order to share the blessings that God gave to us with others. Verse 10, as each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're stewards, we're caretakers of all the blessings that God has given us, and we're to use those blessings for the furtherance of the gospel and also for helping others who are less fortunate than we. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. If we speak, we must speak the oracles of God. We must speak the teachings and the sayings of God. If we minister, we must do it according to the ability that God has given us. Why? That we might glorify God through His Son, and because why? He has dominion forever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning a fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. When we go through fiery trials, we shouldn't think it strange. Did the people hate the prophets? Yes. Did they go through trials? Yes. Did the people hate the apostles? Yes. Did they go through trials? Yes. Did men hate Christ? Yes. Did he go through trials? Yes. We're not going to be any different. If we strive to live for Christ, the world is going to hate us, and we're going to have our share of trials. And some of them will be difficult. But we need to maintain our faith and our trust in God. He will help us deal with them. But rejoice to the extent that you have become partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Christ suffered for righteousness, and He was blessed by His Father. We will be blessed by our Father and by our Savior if we take our suffering and we accept it and we don't allow it to distract us and to discourage us from living to God. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. You see, if we are reproached for the name of Christ, we are blessed by God. If men reproach us and cause us to suffer because of our faith in Christ, we have God's blessing. That should give us courage and strength to endure the suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as busybody in other people's matters. Now, we shouldn't suffer these things because they shouldn't be part of our life. We shouldn't suffer as a murderer. Why? Because we shouldn't take innocent life. We shouldn't suffer as a thief. Why? We should be honest, and we should do that which is right and not steal. We should not suffer as an evildoer. Why? Because that's something that should not be in our character. And or a busybody in other man's matters. We shouldn't be a busybody poking our nose in business that does not belong to us. These things we should never suffer for. Why? Because they should never be part of our lives. We're Christians. We are to live holy lives. We are to live according to the dictates and the teachings of Christ contained in the Scripture. Why? Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. If we suffer as a Christian, we should not be ashamed. When I take a position on morality issues that are very controversial in the world, I oppose homosexuality. Why? Because it's wrong. God says it's a sin. Romans chapter 1. I abhor oppose abortion. Why? Because it's murder. It's an innocent taking of life. I oppose that. But that, today, people are very narrow-minded. And they believe if you have those type of attitudes, that you're part of the problem. But the Bible says that we should never be ashamed for standing and doing on principles of righteousness and that which is right. We need to suffer that willingly. We need to take a stand. We need to not be ashamed who we are or what we represent. Why? Verse 17 through 19 tells us, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the end of those be who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where would the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Judgment. All men are going to be judged, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Judgment's going to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what's going to happen to those who are outside of Christ, to those who don't know God? What is the end of those going to be who do not obey the gospel of God? What's going to happen to them? If they're not in a relationship with God, they will be eternally lost. Remember the words of Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me." What does it mean if the righteous one is scarcely saved? Where would the ungodly and sinner appear? The righteous one is scarcely going to be saved because many will not maintain their righteousness. They will not continue to walk in the paths of righteousness. They will not continue to walk in the ways of God. Therefore, they will give their inheritance and give their reward up because they lose their relationship with God due to their sin. Now, I know that that's not a popular doctrine today. Many religions teach that once you're in a relationship with God, you can never be lost. But passages like this teach against that. That if the righteous scarcely are saved, if the righteous are saved not because of their faithfulness, but because of their faithfulness and the grace of God, where is the ungodly and sinner going to appear that doesn't even try and doesn't even attempt to live their life in accordance with God's will? If the righteous one is going to get by simply because of the love and the grace of God, where is the ungodly and sinner going to appear? To ask the questions, to answer it, they're going to be eternally lost. And so what do we need to do? We need to suffer if it's according to the will of God. If we suffer for righteousness' sake, we must accept that, and we must commit our souls to him that does good. We must trust God. We must put our faith and our courage in God and in his ways. God knows what's best. God knows what's right. God knows what will bring us the most happiness in this life, what will make us most content, which will prepare us not only for the good life here, but prepare us for heaven in the after while. We must have faith. This book has reiterated over and over again that we live a different type of life. We are to live our lives in accordance with God's will, and we are to trust him, commit our souls to him, be dedicated to him, and we are to first put his things first in our life. Please read Matthew 6:33. But when we suffer for doing what is right, we have praise and honor from God, and that should give us great comfort, strength, and hope to endure that we might receive the prize that is at the end of the way. Thank you for listening today. Please come out and be with us today and worship the Lord. And please tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to examine the Word of God.